Hi everybody, welcome to Season 4, Episode 1 of The Hard Truth, Inside the Football Industry Podcast, with me, Philip Hideson, and Talk Sports, Darren McAnthony, also chairman and co-owner of Peterborough United.
Very good, Philip, very good. My brain was so scrambled, I actually called Jim White Philip at one point when I was plugging the podcast, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, how are you?
Yeah, so what's going on, apart from, well, there's a lot going on, which we're going to cover.
What day is today, so everyone knows what day it is we're recording?
It's Sunday morning, so July 30th, Sunday morning.
Yeah, the day after the Birmingham game yesterday. It's the day after the week of the TalkSport gig, articles flying out there, fucking, you know, the usual.
Just a normal preseason.
We're going to call this episode Hysteria. So the usual hysteria, you know what I mean, that just goes everywhere. Yeah, normal preseason, Philip, exactly right. Fucking hell. I'm exhausted, mate.
So let's talk about TalkSport first. How did that come about?
So obviously I'm pals with quite a few people, you know, in the sports media. You know, Sky Sports have a producer who's a Peterborough fan. They always want me on. TalkSport, I know Adrian Durham really well. I know Jim White. I know Simon Jordan really well. They'd asked me to do fill-in for Jim back in, I think it was May I went in. And it was good fun. And the producer at the time, the main guy, the main power to be at TalkSport, basically had been chasing me before that. And then since then, when I was in Dubai, he's like, can you fill in for Simon Jordan while he's away? Can you do like 2 weeks, 3 weeks? And I'm like, look, I can't commit to under. I don't want to say no at the same time, because I love you people. So I gave him a few dates and said, look, I can do 3 or 4 days in this particular week. There's one day I can't do because I promised to do an event at Peterborough, which is a sponsor's event. So he was like, great. And then when I was in Dubai, I was in the pool and I was checking my messages. And he was like, can you do a Sunday show as well? Like, we give you a Sunday show for 3 hours. Can you do it? And I was like, I can't do it. And he goes, look, can you give us 25 weeks of, and I was just like, look, just, and it's not, I'm playing hard to get. It's not about the money. It's just the time. I just don't have the time. I don't live in the UK. You know, like, well, we'll set you up, you can do it in the States. And I'm like, no, because Sunday, like, for me, is like NFL day, football, everything's going on, family, Sunday lunch. So I went in, did it. It was great fun. It was really good. TalkSport's got some great people behind the scenes. And the setup, they're in that building. It's like, you may as well call it the Rupert Murdoch building. You've got the Times, you've got Virgin Radio, you've got, is it Talk TV, you know, the new thing they've got over here. And you've got TalkSport. I mean, the building is unbelievable at the Shard. So fair play. I mean, they've invested a lot, you know, and they're all, and it's interesting to see how radio goes on behind the scenes, the different characters and people. But the producers of the show are actually great. Like, Luke's one of the main producers and a couple of the other guys. And they're like, I suppose you would call them the faceless heroes, because they do such a good job and keep things moving. And, you know, so you go in, you know, my agreement was to come in 10 till 1, you know, 4 days this week. So first time I've been on a train in 20 odd years. That was interesting because it just takes too long to go 20 miles into London and out. So you go in and you have at about 9:15 a production meeting. You're already given notes the night before. And then in the notes are the latest, what's going on, the opinions, who they're going to have on as an opinion guest. And I guess as the week went on, they realized that I was like anti-woke.
The guests got more controversial as the week went on.
Yeah, yeah, correct. They loved all of that because obviously a lot of the stuff they have to talk about, you know, 95% of people are like fed up with it. And Sky, they're fed up with it. You know, whatever they have an opinion, they're pretty much like my opinion. But a lot of people can't say it because they're fear of being cancelled. So I found it easy to go to pull people to task and stuff, but I was like, no, I don't agree with that. And whilst it can be like tasty on air, you know, the guy, everyone's fine. You know, everyone has their own opinion. And I've always said this, you know, you shouldn't have a grudge against somebody because they have a different opinion from you. That's what the world's broken down the last like 3 years. You know, if you don't agree with me or I don't agree with you, it's like, I don't talk to you. And that's not what life should be about. So it was really funny. Thursday night, Luke, the producer, sends me a thing and he's like, we've set this up lovely for you tomorrow. He says, this is like the woke day. And they'd set me up like, I mean, it was the Saudi stuff. It was, and then it was climate. It was, everything was like designed for me to like lose my head. So it was great. It was exhausting. And yeah, I was just being me, having fun. And whether people like you, don't like you, that's all I can be. So I think it was very successful, you know. So they, like I said to you, they wanted me back next week and whatever. I was just like, I just have the time.
So how did you manage to not swear on air then?
Well, they have like a 9-second thing.
Right.
Where they can, like, I think the only mistake I made the whole week was I said something about someone knocking off some bird. So I think they took that bit out. But I was, you know, I can control myself swearing-wise. Even when I was, you know, having a row with Dale Vince, you know, where you really want to get into things. But I'm a professional. I've been on TV a few times. I know how to handle myself. I know, you know, of course you want to swear and you're like, for fuck's sake, like, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, some of the crap, you know what I mean, that you're hearing about, whatever. So, but look, it's fascinating to see the other side. It's fascinating to, I've always had a love-hate relationship with journalists over the years. You know, my uncle was a best-selling author years gone by. You know, he's in his 90s now. You know, when I was 15, I actually did work experience at a newspaper. And when I went into, obviously, football, I got to know a lot of journalists. And over the years in my business life, I've had loads of hit pieces written about me when I became successful. Obviously, in football, I've had some hit pieces written about me, some more recent. And it comes with the territory. And I understand journalists have a job, but there are times I'll feel there's agendas at play. And that's where I can be, shall we say, feisty.
Yeah.
You know, going back on it and whatever else, you know what I mean? So, but look, everyone has a job to do. And some do it better than others.
Well, I don't think Dale Vince is on your Christmas card list this year.
Yeah, look, we're very different people. Who am I to judge him? I don't know him. I've never met him. You know, I just, he wound me up because it was, I think the way he spoke to me at the start, he came at me. And I don't know if they'd wound him up to do that. I don't know. But yeah, I snapped a little bit because he came at me. And I was like, I was a bit surprised by that because we both own football clubs in the football league. But look, we're just very different people. But again, like I said to you before, I'd have no problem sitting in there and have a coffee and going, all right, you have your opinion. Now, he probably would never have a coffee for me. I said to Barry yesterday, I said, by the way, Baz, we will never deal with Forest Green. Not because, and by the way, people listening, don't put salacious headlines out there. All right, don't just quote whatever else, full context, because I'm on a mission at the moment about that, where I haven't used lawyers for a long time against media and stuff written, but I'm gearing up for that. If crap keeps going on a certain way. So when I say to Barry, we'll never do business with Forest Green, I have no problem doing business with Forest Green. I would buy players, I would sell players, but I guarantee you there's no way on earth Dale Vince will ever do business with Peterborough. So I might be wrong, but I would imagine that's going to be the case.
Well, it's funny, I was going to ask you, do owner, not disagreements, but, you know, clashes of personality, does that impact behind the scenes business that clubs will do together?
It doesn't for me, because I'm a big boy. I would never hold a grudge. I've always said this, yeah, I like to have a row, but the row's gone. I don't hold a grudge. You know, if that was the case, there'd be a lot of people who voted against going back to playing that I'd never have done business with after COVID. So, but there are clubs who would not do business because of me, I would say, at times, you know, who would be like, yeah. You know, if we rang up about one of their players, we'd be like, oh, it's Mac Anthony. You know, we're going to either put the price up or make it really difficult. So that definitely goes on. But again, that's their prerogative. Like I said, do I keep receipts? Of course. But, you know, I don't use it as a grudge. And if it affects the player, you know, I would, there was a case recently, just like a couple of years after COVID. And there was one club in particular who I thought their owner had the hump with me. And I had the hump with him. And they came on for a player, and in the end, I thought about for the player. It was like on deadline day, and I let the player go. I put everything else out of it, took the emotion out of it. It was like, okay, it's good for him, and it's okay for us as a club. I'll do it. So that wasn't in the equation. So that's just me.
So lo and behold, you're kind of calling out some of the hypocrisy, I think, in the media over the week, especially when it related to Saudi Arabia. And we're going to talk a little bit later about Saudi Arabia. And then a couple of days later, you get another interesting headline in a publication last night as we're recording it, talking about the financials. You know, anything you can say about that?
Yeah, again, you've attributed that to maybe me being on TalkSport. I don't know. I don't know how the world works. I don't know if I wound up certain people. I would say lots of the information has been out there a long time. So, you know, the timing, who knows? There was somebody last summer tried to write a very similar hit piece. This was last summer. A lot of stuff that came out last summer in January, September, October that were on forums, you know, led to me having a spat with some journalists for another League One club about your posts and stuff that's not true. And then that club bid for one of our best assets and offered like 500 grand, you know, all based on that. And I was like, nah, fuck off. And then 7 months later, I ended up selling said player for like four and a half times that money or whatever. So, you know, it's always the effect of the negative publicity from it is everyone thinks, okay, you're in trouble. Now we're going to try and come in and nick all your players for next to nothing. Now we're going to try and make it. All it does is I don't lose a sleep about the headline because, again, it's not true as regards that happening. It won't happen. I've been working really hard on doing deals and whatever else. And we're in like the last couple of minutes of having that happen and being papered legally and stuff. So it's just more outside noise. I can't do anything about it. People are going to write what they want. Fans are going to tweet what they want. What they can't do is tweet, we are going into something. that's different. You know, I mean, that's where I have to go, okay, you need lawyers on the case. So people have to be very, very careful about how they post things, what they write. What I do know is the sources and where it's coming from. Again, I know where it's all in play. You know, I was, you know, on the coffee this morning, obviously, I was going to start and watch all the fights last night. Don't tell me I recorded them because of this podcast, which I agreed with you and forgot. I ended up going to bed at 2:30 in the morning. I was like, I need to be fresh in the morning for all the stuff that's going on. And I was like, you know, in the future, you know, down the line, I'll probably, you know, write a good book, you know, and Posh at War.
All the ulterior motive.
Well, you know, it's just like, crikey almighty. I, you know, I've always tried to run a football club really well. I've always tried to make it a club that other people would want to do the same, whether it be transfer policy. Nobody's disputed the club has had too much debt. But then again, since COVID, a lot of clubs have had too much debt. You know, COVID really hurt everyone in our industry. People don't talk about that enough. We were left out there, you know, financially. You know, I think we got, everyone got £1 million in League One and League Two, but for 2 years of having no income, that's not enough. You know, the government were bailing out the arts, you know, rugby, other industries. We got no help, bar, I think, £1 million thrown at us in the Premier League. And it was really, really tough. So, you know, people say, oh, you're blaming COVID for bad decisions. No, COVID just made life a lot more difficult. And some decisions were made as regards to you take on debt and you do whatever else. But you do your best every year. You run your club as best you can, decisions you make. Partnerships come and go, you know, as regards to ownership disputes and whatever else. You know, sometimes you get on, sometimes you fall out. That's nothing new. That happens in life. Nobody died. Things will end up getting resolved. You know, so there is a resolution and it will be resolved. And all the outside noise never helps. Just when you think you're done, and then something comes out and that tries to harm that process because it just casts doubts and everything. And that's my issue. Do you know what I mean? But I know what I have to do. And I know the club has too much debt, but it's not as much debt as everyone goes on about. You know, I was having this debate yesterday with somebody from one of the supporters groups having a chat and whatever and go, yeah, but you're 12, 15 million in debt. And we're not. You know, there's a thing called secured and unsecured. You know, and our secured debt's like under 6 million. It's two player sales. And people will go, why don't you sell players? And did it then? Oh, maybe you're not getting offers. You know, anyone who wants to call me a liar, I'll take them to court. I'll show them the offers. You know, we've had offers for a lot of players. If you go by that headline, you think I should be cutting staff. I should be selling every player for whatever we get offered. If you go by that headline that was out there, it's done in a salacious way to draw attention, you know. And I can show those offers, you know, to everybody and go, no, we turned down those offers because it's not the right price for that player for the club. And at the end of the day, I'm paying the bills, and that's where our club is at the moment. But by the end of this, we'll come out stronger, you know, and better. And, you know, I have goals in those steps, and I can't go into loads of it because when there's ownership disputes, there's other people with their own comments. And I thought some of the stuff in there about one particular person was very unfair and was very, you know, without their right of reply, they didn't get to whatever. And I just thought, well, okay, fine. You've gone down that route, but that's between you and them to ask those questions. Do you know what I mean? So I don't want to comment on whether it be I've got two partners. I don't want to comment on either one. And, you know, what I'll do is I'll get on with what I'm doing. Part of that's today, actually. I'm reading through, you know, settlement agreements and da-da-da-da-da. And that's been going on for through the summer. And sometimes coming to a deal is easy. It's papering a deal legally. And I hate lawyers when lawyers are involved because it's just like, oh, my God. And that's where things get held up. So all fans need to know and people need to realize is that it's business as usual for us. I'm still turning down bids this morning from Barry Fry. You know, and I'm sure this week we'll probably get the worst bids of our life off the back of that publicity. It'll be the worst fucking bids ever. Yeah, how do I know? Because I've been through this again like last summer in a small way. So this will be in a more highlighted way. And we will be doing more business for ourselves. And that's not a financial thing. That's a fair play 60% rule thing, which is real. But yeah, so that's all I can say on that. And people are going to come at you. And I would give advice this, the same advice my dad gave to me when I was going into business, I'm going to give to my children, that be prepared when you become successful to get sued, get written about, and get loved or hated. Because that's what happens when you become super successful. So everything is like magnified.
It's funny, you know, my business got sued as well a few years ago. And, you know, I had all the worries that you would expect the first time that happens. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen again in our business.
What's it like now?
Business is good. And it's funny. It was almost like people were saying that's a rite of passage. You know you're there to be shut down when that happens.
And that's what my dad said, you know, like years gone by when the papers wrote about me and they wrote about me business-wise, then they wrote about my personal life. You know, there was so much stuff written about, you know, I spent so much in legal fees and I won loads of, compensation money or whatever else that I donated at the charity. I never ever took the money for me. I was just, one newspaper, 20 grand, give it to whatever else, you know, that's what they do. So, people are going to write about you, you know, regardless of what you do. And of course you can try and answer. The more you try and answer and give truth, the more then they'll try and, so sometimes it's like, oh my God almighty. I try and deal with things myself and it's just like, you got to go back to giving it to your lawyers to deal with, you know? So it is what it is, you know? So I guess my whole thing is less noise, you know? And I did say to Peter fans, I wanted to go into this season with less noise. The season hasn't started yet, so I'm glad it all happened before so I can stick to that, you know? But less noise is the key thing.
You just need to get the deal done.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, yes. Yeah, I feel very comfortable about, you know, there's like numbers out there, you know, that what we owe and whatever else, and it's incorrect. You know, trust me, I feel very comfortable about the whole situation. Like, I've been the one who said very little. There's been a lot of stuff said. There's been a lot of stuff put out there. So, you know, I'm very, very comfortable with our football club's position. Very comfortable, deal or no deal or whatever. I don't lose a minute of sleep over that. So, at the end of the day, all will be well for our football club. And, you know, my job is not to let anything happen to it. But I can't stop the negative stuff. Other fans who seem to be enjoying it as well and reamplifying and, ooh, you know, the word. You know, that was used. I'm not going to use the word because I just think it's unfair to put that word out there. But, and then it's like, you know, within that is like our auditors and our accountants and, you know, language that's used. And I was like, lots of the language is used for every football club. And I went back and read loads of our old report and lots of the language is in there that in terms of there's always the element risk. If a shareholder withholds the financial support, if a club defaults on any agreements they have or whatever else, there's always an element of risk that it becomes, what's the word? When a club or it doesn't have money or it doesn't have whatever, there's like an accountancy term.
It going concern.
Yeah. Well, more than that, they use a certain word that frightens everyone. That, you know, if a club doesn't have cash to operate or doesn't have, and that's what they do. You know, so that's always been in there. But again, and then you got people on Twitter popping up about the cars I drive. You know, and this car's repossessed, and no cars are repossessed. You know, and any car I drive that's leased by the club, I pay for myself. You know, people are just blow my fucking mind. It's just incredible, really. You know, the stuff that just, you know, comes out, whatever. So it's what it is, you know. But as a podcast, we're not going to shy away from it. It would be easy enough to have talked about it today. But I said to you straight off the bat, look, hit me with whatever. You know, we're not hiding from anyone. But the one thing I won't do is hysteria. The one thing I won't do is amplify crap, you know. And I am all about action. And people are going to see lots of action from me.
The one football part of that piece was right at the end. So maybe you can't tell me the exact answer, but any truth in the Ronnie Edwards 50% sell-on?
Oh my God, you're like Alan Swan, you know what I mean? Fair play to him. He has to ask that question, you know? I'm not going to... A, I would never talk about any deal with any other club. And B, I don't know why that was put in an article or who's leaked that. Well, I think I know who leaked it and why, but what's the point of the article? It doesn't write about us having X amount due from Ivan Toney if he ever gets sold. So you give both sides, right? Ooh, Peterborough giving away half of Ronnie Edwards. Everyone thinks Ronnie Edwards getting sold is going to save Peterborough. Ronnie Edwards, listen, the way he played yesterday in all preseason, and he's going to get called up by the England under 21s, I'd give a fuck if he gets sold this summer. God's honest truth. If Ronnie Edwards is with us till January, so be it.
Yeah, his value is only increasing.
Yeah, like with all due respect, he'll be in the England under 21s next. He's played 20 times during that. It's not an advertisement. So going into sell-ons and deals I do, all I would say there is that for any given transfer or deal, have a look around the dates and the circumstances of a particular deal. Have a look at it, all right? And nobody should question me on any deals done for players. You know, like some people are like, oh, the best deal maker is the Barnett guy. No. If you look at like, well, A, go and watch our team. You'll be very surprised. And B, never question what we pay in salons. You know, we paid zero for Ronnie Edwards. Zero. And by the way, we signed Ronnie Edwards right in the middle of COVID as a 16, 17-year-old. So, you know, again, great headline, great thing to throw in there to make it seem like, oh my God, half that money's going anyway to another club. How are Peterborough going to save themselves? Fuck off. Like, seriously, I wish you could say that live on air. I can say that in my podcast. And by the way, Hard Truth listeners, fucking unbelievable support. you know, our episodes from season three are going through the roof. So, you know, fair play. And I love seeing that because it validates the production crew and everyone. So, and if you're listening, we still haven't got a sponsor that's agreed to pay what we want. So if anyone wants some real traction to sponsor our YouTube channel, sponsor our show and whatever else, email us.
Yeah, contact@hardtruthfootball.com.
There you go. Anyway, enough about all the ugly side of the game. On to the exciting bit.
Yeah, let's talk football. So tell me about your approach to preseason then this year.
Really enjoyable one, actually. You know, and it was led by the manager, you know, and that's why I probably love him so much. It was like, let's get younger. Let's do it in a way where more experienced players aren't stood next to younger players telling them off when they make a mistake or blaming them for their own mistake. Let's give young players the freedom. Let's try and play a different brand of football, more risky, but freedom. And let's do that. And let's use our tools in the academy. You know, let's sign younger players again. Let's go after a certain type of player. And it's been like that and some very, very good business. You know, we got Critch, your boy from Bradford. You know, that was a long drawn out negotiation with the agent player. We got there in the end. We obviously signed Ryan de Havilland, which is one of the best young central midfielders in non-league from Barnet. Mm-hmm. We're giving Barnet 90% of that deal. He's left-footed and right-footed, two-footed. Great young player, ex-Fulham graduate from their academy. We signed, obviously, RR. I'm not going to tell everyone what RR stands for, what I call Archie Collins, but I'm still in shock that we managed to get him. Tried to sign him in January when I thought we might be losing Jack, but I didn't end up selling Jack. And at the time, Archie's agent told me to F off. He was going to the championship. I was in Dubai in June in the pool playing volleyball with the family, 4-1. So I had my earpiece in and I basically had this, you know, thought he hasn't gone anywhere. I actually rang the agent from the pool and was like, you told me to F off in January. Is that the same answer? And then there was silence. So I was like, okay, that tells me there's a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance? You know that Jim Carrey meme?
Yeah.
I went to work on getting the boy, his mom, everyone in to see the manager and got to work on Joel Randall, Agent Randall, on the case. They've been in the youth team since I think the age of 12 together. And I thought this would kill two birds at one stone. We're getting one of the best young central midfielders outside the Premier League in our team to replace Jack Taylor. And Joel Randall's close buddy, who might bring the best out of Joel, who's had a horror 2 years for various reasons. And I went from there and I couldn't believe it. And Exeter were absolutely brilliant to deal with. And it's for them, I think it was a travesty that championship clubs didn't jump in. I think the concern was that if you sign him, you go to a tribunal because he's under 24. So instead of taking that risk, we went around that and went straight to Exeter and said, let's hammer a deal. Let's hammer a deal. We'll give you a deal that you're comfortable with. You give us a deal we're comfortable with. And by the way, might bring the best out of Joel and that big sell-on down the line. You know, all of those things. We're the best club. And Exeter were brilliant. Their manager was brilliant. Their technical director was brilliant. And the real problem dealing with an Exeter is they are full of cash. They've got loads of cash because they've done so well with their academy and selling players. Even the boy from Chelsea that went to Leeds, Amptu or whatever, they had sell-ons. You know, they are really well off. It's not an easy club to deal with because they can just say no. They pay all their bills on time, you know.
They don't need it.
And that's
cash.
A compliment to them, and it's brilliant to see. And it's the way you'd say football should be. So really happy to get him. We signed a new goalkeeper. Well, two new goalies. A kid from Brighton, who will be in the 21s a lot, but will help with the first team. Then we had a boy from Huddersfield that had been on our radar, but it was a loan. And I know one of the questions I read earlier was you changed your mind about loans and stuff. Well,
yeah.
I just said to when we were at St. George's Park, I said to the manager and the staff, are you nailed on this boy? You 100% nailed on. I said, is there upside in this boy? Will he get better? And they were like, absolutely. You can take that to the bank. And I said, okay, Baz, Neil Warnock's brilliant. He always answers you. Ring him and see. He'll never play. You know, Neil will want a more experienced goalkeeper. You know, do they want to do a deal? With a massive sell-on. Just joking. Will they want to, you know, that'll be in an article in 3 years.
90% sell-on everywhere.
Yeah. So we'd already agreed to take the boy alone. So when we found out we could sign him permanently, it was like, okay, let's do this. Let's back this young goalie. So again, you know, moving past what we were doing as regards to young players, and he's going to be with us for 3+ years. And what else? Who else did we sign? We signed a couple of fucking cracking gems for our 21s who I think are actually going to be bashing the door down of the first team quicker. Two of them in particular are like, so I'm excited about them. And yeah, did I miss anyone there signing-wise?
You got
the right back, PK. Oh, PK. Yeah, Peter Kyoso, who the manager fucking loves. PK from Rotherham, really difficult one. I'm going to give his agent massive credit. His agent was fucking brilliant. One of the best agents I've dealt with. He's been messaging me for 2 years about PK, but we could never afford to get PK. You know, not particularly for a right back. The manager loves him. He's a man. He's a proper man. And he's a leader. So really, really happy with that one. Even the gaffer yesterday after the game was saying, you want to hear PK in the dressing room after the game. So, yeah, really, really happy. Really good player. Plays to our strengths. Great going forward. Great going back. He had Dembele yesterday who skinned PK with the first minute of the game and never did it again afterwards. You know, proper player. So, yeah, he's a good player. Don't miss anyone. I don't think I missed anyone else.
And then Bila Kapic, is that right?
That's the goalie, right?
Is he? Oh, that's the two goalies. You got Flynn Talley.
Yeah. I don't even want to get into names because that would have been like, that was my problem on TalkSport all week. My mind was scrambled with various names. But yeah, no, really, really good. Really good recruitment. You know, and again, you know, we had 9 on the list to go out. I think 5 or 6 had gone. You know, really good business. A few left. You know, Thomas has done really well. If he doesn't go, he doesn't go. Janda Fuchs has stunned everybody, and Janda's a favourite of mine. Janda was brilliant in the championship for us. And Janda's blown the management team's mind. First game of this preseason, he's pinging 40-yard passes. We all looked at each other like it's invasion of the body snatchers, because that's not his game. And he's put his head down, and he's worked really hard, and now he's one of our four midfielders. It would take a stupid bid to sell Janda. So, and the manager, the massive manager's call, I'm like, do you want to keep him? Because you were always planning if he got sold, we'd get a fourth midfielder. So our midfield is Jando, Hector, Archie, and Ryan. You know, great age group in there if you look at it. You know, and then obviously, yeah. And I think who's left on the list? Well, Clark Harris.
Yeah, Johnson.
Yeah, Clark Harris, a couple of bids from America. A couple of League One clubs would like to sign him, don't have the money. 2 clubs in the championship, one of us to sell would like to sign him. Manager picked him yesterday. I would presume, you know, a lot of the 11 that played yesterday are probably your starting team for the season, as per a lot of teams. We played a full-strength Birmingham side by a couple of players who were in and out. We were fucking brilliant. The football was a joy to watch, an absolute joy to watch. 3-0 up in 15 minutes. We were exciting. We break with some panache. Really good. And, yeah, they scored a couple of goals or whatever, but we controlled most of the game. We look a threat. Jono, to be fair to him, is you wouldn't think the way we play now would maybe suit him, but fair fucking play. He stepped up. He looked good. He got his place yesterday because everyone was thinking, was Cabby going to be in or was it him? He hasn't sulked. You know, he's not a captain anymore because it would be daft to make him captain while he's on the transfer list. Fair play to him. There would be bids for Jono. He's a double Golden Boot winner. You know, it's just there's been inquiries and bids from America. They're not enough. And again, a club for so much trouble and I'm turning down bids. So, there will be bids for him. If he goes, if it's right, we will react. And we have a plan to react. But yeah, no, that's it. But the football yesterday was like, mwah! It was like that. It was like, and I'm going to say this, and this is a message to the Posh fans. I'm going to tell you how to suck eggs. I said it to a couple of people around me. The way we're going to play this season is going to be lots of times a joy to watch. There's going to be times where you're going to shit yourself. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to give away the most stupid goals you're ever going to see. But you're going to have to stick with it with the youngsters. Just stick with it. Just, if you can, just get behind it. Because the minute we start going at them, including us on the podcast or whatever else, they could go under in that way of you put too much pressure on them, criticize-wise. Let's allow them make the mistakes. I promise you, it won't last long. And they're going to be some unit together. You know, the sky's the limit for the young bucks. You know, there's some serious talent in there. But we have to enable them to make those errors. Because if you watch the way they were playing yesterday, it's brave. You have to be brave to do it, because when it doesn't work, it's like, fuck. So, you know, but I'm all up for that. I'm signed up for that. I'd like our fans to be signed up for it, but you do you. I'm not telling the fans. Don't be the headline. Dara's censoring the fans. It's not what I'm saying. Just think of the bigger picture. You know, but we've got some, even in our academy, yeah, we've got, you know, one just got called up by England under 18s, Benji Arthur. With a Prem club ring us after the Stamford game. It was during the summer and it was really funny. I was stood there with Baz and Baz was like, okay, you know, you're ringing about Ronnie Edwards, and the club was like, no. So, okay, you're ringing about F1 Mason Clark, and I was like, no. I was like, for fuck's sake, you know, I was going through that, you know, whatever. And it was like this one, and it was like, okay, you know, like one of the England coaches would say he's one of the best players at that age level, he plays for the 18s, you know, all of that kind of thing. And you know, so we are very excited about him. But it's like everything else, you know, we're showing his dad and him that, you know, the best place is not to go to those clubs or not to, you know, get sold, you know, yet, is you can get in our first team. You can get in our first team. So, you know, we have another one, a left back in there as well, who potentially is getting called up for the England 19s in November, Harley Mills. So we have some very good young players. And then there's a couple of attacking players, as I said before, that we've signed this summer, you know, 10 and a winger, Peterborough type players. So very excited about that. So yeah, all good. So that's the football.
Yeah, and you talked about taking the captaincy away from Jono just because he's on a transfer list and giving it to Efron. Yeah,
that's the right thing to do.
Was there any, like, do you think about age when it comes to a captain?
So we basically, the manager came to me with a staff. We had a great meeting after dinner one night in camp. And the discussion of captain came up. Age didn't come into it. You know, the person and the character came into it. So the manager came to me and he said, you know, who would you make captain? Not because I was giving him the name of the person. He'd already made his mind up. He was just curious as to think, who would I have in my mind? So I gave him three names. And he was like, well, funny enough, he said, two of them are captain, vice captain type thing. And I said, okay, so I'm in the right ballpark. And we decided on Efron. Efron is a beautiful human being. You know, if you ever meet him, if you ever talk to him, you see his family, all the boys look up to him, the younger players. And it was evident at the end of camp, the players have to do the bonus with me. And of course, management aren't allowed to be there. So it's me, Baz, Liz, and then I've got the committee of five. And the committee of five were brilliant. It was Efron, it was Kwame, it was Harrison Burroughs, who was in the running for captain, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was Archie Collins and Hector. And it was funny, you know, everyone was worried I was going to take them to the cleaners because they were five young lads. But I purposely went easy on them, not easy on them, but purposely gave them a little bit more bonus structure to take back to the room so they'd look like heroes. And because there were still a few experienced players left who were probably looking at it going, oh, we were in that meeting last year and now we're not, and they're going to fuck it up. So there was a bit of that going on. I wanted to give the lads a bit of a boost, but fair play to them. They negotiated well. They came across brilliant. You know, it was great to see. It reminded me when I had the Trinity back in the day and all that group of players who just lived and died for each other. And that's kind of what we're building again. And the biggest payoff has been Joel Randall. Now, people will say, well, he was a sensation last preseason. You're right. But my favorite words of this year would be run, Joel, run. You know, he is a different level. I mean, yesterday against Brett, some of the things so I'm really looking forward to seeing him. It's like a new signing. And I get behind him. The fans are already getting behind him. And he knows he has everyone's support. So, Phil, we're just excited. You know, it's football. There's a new season. Regardless of all the negative headlines, this is the best group of young players I've had in 17 years. And I think the gaffer's reinvigorated.
So you talked about not wanting to put pressure on the players. So
I want the fucking league won by April. No. I promised the manager, I promised everyone, don't worry. You know, there's no vengeance tour. There's no greatest show on turf. There's no whatever else. I said it during the summer, you know, what's that saying? You don't win anything with kids. That can be the mantra or whatever, which worked out well for Fergie. And everyone in that dressing room, everyone in the coaching staff know what they want to do. We all know what we want to do, but we also know that's never easy. And every year we go into a season, we as a club have expectations. We always have those expectations. We're not going to sing and dance about them, but everyone knows. You know, I don't know what the bookies odds say. I don't know what other people say. We're probably going to fly under the radar before the season starts. That's the way it is. That's fine. That's absolutely okay. League One's full of some big clubs.
So what are we? Reading, first day of the season, away. You know, it's Reading themselves are in a lot of trouble at the moment, aren't they?
Allegedly. But you know, they've signed some good players. So you're always like, oh, clubs are in trouble, whether it be Peterborough, Reading, whoever, allegedly, because they still sign good players, right? I mean, Reading have signed some good players. They've signed a Premier League manager. So whilst you read all the headlines about who's in trouble, it kind of doesn't make sense to what you then see, right? So regardless of the headlines, Reading will be a force in League One. Reading will be, they'll be thereabouts. And I dare say it'll be a great game, great stadium. And yeah, another away start for Peterborough. Funny that. Same every time the fixtures come out. What are the odds?
Do you, and I'm actually looking at the odds for League One at the moment. Do you feel it's an easier league than last year, a harder league than last year?
No, I don't buy into it. I don't think any league's ever easier. Every year we've been in League One, there's a monster of a club in name. And there are still some monsters. Bolton are a big club. Reading are a big club. Portsmouth are a big club. Derby are a big club. There are still your big clubs in the league. And every year you will have a Burton, a Yeovil, a Peterborough, a Plymouth, somebody that, you know, although fair play to Plymouth, they've got big crowds, that will book the trend and be up there. And we've done that countless times, whether it be Leicester, whether it be Sheffield Wednesday, whether it be Southampton, whether it be Leeds. You know, every year, a couple of years ago with Sunderland when we got promoted. So, you know, the bigger the clubs, the better. I don't know how open it is. Who's the bookies' favourites?
Bookies' favourite is Derby. It's Derby, Bolton, and then Ewan Portsmouth.
Oh, are we that high up? What are the odds?
Yeah, this is Sky Bet this morning. I just pulled the odds for title winners' odds. So you're joint third favourite at the moment.
Right, okay. So I know a lot of the pundits and people have been writing us off this summer, but, you know, what do they always say about bookies, Philip?
They never lose money, do they?
Yeah, so look, here's what it is, you know. Do you know what? A lot of the challenges the last couple of months, whilst exhausting and whatever else, and the stuff that keeps coming, it seems to keep giving me fuel. So even yesterday's stuff and the last few days and stuff, I'm fueled. I'm fueled like you wouldn't believe. So let's see. I'm excited about what I saw yesterday. But as Baz always says, it's fucking preseason. Don't pay any fucking attention to preseason, Chairman. You know what I mean? So pick your results. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, yesterday was 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny because, you know, against Peterborough Sports, I think you lost, did you? And everybody said you were going to, that it was, we're going to get relegated. And then you 3-0 up after 13 minutes at Birmingham and you're going to go up a show.
Yeah, it's the overreaction. All the manager wants to do is get minutes out of his team. Peter Schwartz was brilliant. It was great meeting their owner, you know, Luke Steele and obviously Gash there, the joint managers. We did that as a last minute thing because we had another team go to Bedford. We have a squad of 24 players. 11 went to Bedford, 11 went to PSL. It was mixed and matched. You know, we lost, boo-hoo, it was the 90 minutes. Yesterday, we won, boo-hoo, it was 90 minutes, as we had 90 minutes against Watford as well. So I can't speak about that, though, because, you know, that was a game that was organised. It was kind of like embargoed until afterwards where we could actually say the results. It is what it is. Who did you play yesterday? Let's talk Bradford's Bantam fans who are listening.
We lost at Rochdale 1-0 yesterday and were awful.
Oh.
But that's pre-season again, you know.
What's Barry Fry say?
We played in, we had Middlesbrough on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it may be Wednesday, and drew 3-3 and, you know, it was a really good performance. We drew 2-2 with Hull at the weekend, good performance. So it's funny, you know, fans are so fickle. So some supporters booed the team off after losing to Rochdale in a preseason.
I love fans.
Like people around me. You know, acting like we just lost, you know, we just got relegated or something.
What's your feeling? Based on what you're seeing, based on new signings, what's your feeling? Give us the prediction.
Yeah.
Where's the mighty Bradford going to be? I mean, your league is bigger than our league now as regards to some of the big hitters and the Wrexhams, the Notts County, Stockport of making signings. I mean, you know, Gillingham was suddenly re-energised with money. I mean, I couldn't pick three people getting promoted.
If it's on paper at the moment, it's got to be Wrexham, Stockport, probably Notts County.
100%. Yeah. And we're missing some big clubs in there as well, being disrespectful. You know, MK Dons are back in league too.
Yeah.
Have you done enough business, Philip?
I don't think we have yet. That's why I'm interested to see how, as the loan market seems to be really quiet this year so far up this stage. I don't know if you see
the whole market's quiet. I think a lot of things, it's the spin effect. I think a lot of things, the money has to start flowing down the leagues. Your bigger clubs in the Championship will sell the players to the Premier League and then they start plucking. And then Premier League clubs are on tour and they've got young players with them. They're padding out squads. You will see, I would imagine, next week, by the end of this week, things will start getting busier all the way through August. You've turned down bids for your goalkeeper.
Turned down a couple of bids for the keeper,
I thought he was off to Bradford, no, at one point. Not Bradford, Barnsley.
I think we had a couple of bids from Barnsley, which we turned down.
What were they?
I don't know, to be honest with you. If I was going to speculate, just from what I've read in the press, I think it was probably 400,000 or 500,000, something like that. But that's me speculating.
I think less. I think if I was to speculate, it'd be in the 250 to 300 range and turned down.
Yeah, which, you know, for his value to the club at the moment, I mean, it's good that we have the ability to turn them down.
You've got a year left on him, haven't you?
Yeah, we got a year and an option.
Yeah, so you're okay. You're comfortable. He's not running the contract now. Does the player want to leave?
Well, and that's the thing. I think that who knows whether he wants to leave or not, but he's that minded that it's like, I was unsettled for a week while the talk was going on. you know, the talk's gone and I'm more than happy to be here. And, you know, I'm fully focused on being here. It's, you know, he's that kind of character.
Or is it more important if you get $300,000 or $400,000 that allows you to get four or five important players to the squad?
Well, but the thing is, you know, we've spent money on players in the realms of, you know, that £800,000 that haven't ended up being good players for the squad. So it's still...
Yeah, but I'm talking wage package, loans, everything else. If that one player, a goalkeeper, you know, allows you to get, you know, three or four missing pieces to add to the squad, right?
Yeah, one of those would have to be goalkeeper, though, because we don't have any backup at all in the goalkeeper position. I don't know. I think that his value to the team as a teammate is... It would be, you would have to really do a good job on recruitment to replace
Take the money. Take the money, yeah. Like, with all due respect, yeah, to goalkeeper, and I don't want to play down the goalkeeper position, but, and I've said this in the past, a million clubs, you know, have goalies on loan. You know, they have goalies in, you know, and yes, you need a good goalkeeper. But I think, you know, it's the sum of all parts. If a goalkeeper allows you to bring in a striker, a midfielder, a defender, you know, in the spine of your team to improve your squad, I think even if your new goalkeeper was only 80% of the previous goalkeeper, I think it favours you odds-wise of having more chance of going up. So I think take the personal love of him away, which I feel I'm getting from you at the moment, and do good business. That's my opinion. You know, do good business. You know, very rarely do you see goalies sold in the lower leagues for money.
Do you feel that when you're looking at where you're putting money, that goalkeeper is a more of a commodity than other players or other positions?
I just look at it and go, you know, all the times we've been promoted, our goalies got injured during a period that was crucial in the run-in, and we brought in loans and still being promoted. You know, Plymouth lost the best young goalkeeper outside the Premier League to an ACL, and they still won the league. So it's not always as bad as you think that, oh, you have to have that goalie. And I just think that if you need, I don't know what Bradford needs for the squad. I don't know if you need another midfielder. I don't know if you need a fullback. I don't even know if you need a striker or a winger. But if you need those players, and the reason you haven't signed them is because of money or budget, you take the money for your goalie and you get at it busy. My opinion. That's the hard truth.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I can see that a goalkeeper would be, if you're winning the league, you're not winning the league because you're a goalkeeper. If you're finishing in the last playoff spot, then you could attribute finishing in the last playoff spot versus mid-table to your goalkeeper, which is probably where we were last season, because without him, we probably wouldn't have reached the playoffs. But if we aspire to more than that...
I always looked at it the other way and said that goals change games, and goals are the things that, you know, and if you look at all the Peterborough teams, it's been based around goals, it's been based around attacking play, offensive play. Of course, I want us to be stronger defensively, but it's a sum of all parts. And where do you allocate the money? Do you allocate your money to a load of clean sheets? Yeah, potentially in the Championship. But in League Two is going to be a shootout. So many clubs are going to score goals. You look at all the clubs we've mentioned; they all have prolific goal scorers. Andy Cook is your prolific goal scorer, you know, and one of the older ones. And then you have to have what's around them. So you know, you tell me, what is the missed ingredient for us to say that you're in that batch with Wrexham, Notts County, and Stockport? What are you missing?
I still think we're missing. Well, we're going to a back three. So wing backs, I do think we're missing at the back. The back three worries me in terms of its pace. There's a lot of older players, injury-prone players, that I think can be turned around pretty quickly. And you don't have a ton of attacking quality on the probably left back. You know, just going forward, there still seems to be a little bit devoid of creativity. Now, we've got Jamie Walker, and we just signed Alex Patterson from Harrogate, who did well last year as number 10. So it's, how do you fit those two in the team together? I'm not sure you really can, and we've tried to during preseason.
Yeah, unless you pull an Ipswich and play with two tens.
Which is a possibility. I mean, I think that we've been playing a lot more aggressive on the press in preseason, which is interesting. Last year, you could definitely blame us for being a bit too slow. So they've been a lot more aggressive, playing higher up the line. And I'm interested to see how that goes. But it just doesn't feel like we've got enough there yet.
You got 5 weeks left on the window. So what's your heart tell you? What's the prediction for Bradford?
My heart at the moment tells us probably playoffs again.
Okay.
I think that the ones that are up there are so strong, at least on paper. And again, as we always talk about, football's not played on paper. But I think it'll be tough to get into the top three.
Okay. And there you go, Bradford fans.
And if I look at, let's see, the odds. So the odds, no surprise, Wrexham. First, Stockport, Notts County, Gillingham, Mansfield, Salford, us and MK Dons, and then Doncaster.
Oh, strong league.
And then you got Swindon in there. You got, you know, Accrington came down. I think that Barrow will do better than 50-1 chance because Pete Wild runs a good ship. All the way down here, Tranmere, you know, Walsall, not a small club.
League Two could be the most exciting league out of all of them this year. Mm-hmm. If you take the Championship where you think Leicester, Southampton, Leeds, you know, the usual suspects, Middlesbrough having a go. You take League One where you're kind of like, okay, you know, again, the usual suspects, but still a very, very good league. Bristol Rovers will be, you know, dark horse, you know, done some good business. And then League Two for me is going to be the most interesting league out of the three.
Do you think that it's a foregone conclusion on Wrexham already?
Yeah, all day long. Yeah, I think Wrexham win the league. I think they'll win it by a canter. I've said that all along. I think, you know, very comfortable. I think Stockport will be the dark horse that could upset that apple cart. And I think Notts County will definitely be thereabouts. So it's a fascinating league. And like I said to you, clubs like Gillingham now, new ownership, have got, like, you know, money, did well in the second half of last year. You know, if you're asking me to pick promotion people out of each league, I can't do it. I can't do it. One, I don't love making predictions. And two, it's going to be, could be one of the most exciting years in all three leagues for a long time. And like I said to you, the Championship's the same. You know, for me, my pick is Southampton. I think Southampton will win the league by 10, 12 points. I'll do a Burnley.
Yeah, if I look at the odds in the Championship right now, Leicester, Leeds, Southampton, Middlesbrough, Ipswich, Norwich, West Brom, Watford, Sunderland.
Yeah, Southampton win the league. Ipswich will be top eight. Might pull a Sunderland from last year. I think they're going to have a really good season. I think there's a lot of business still to be done.
And that goes to what we talked about earlier, the market's being pretty... I think it's hard to project the season at this point because there's got to be a lot of movement still to come.
Yeah, you have to be the same for us. You know, like, we're very comfortable that, you know, if a couple go, a couple will come in. There won't be any panic from us. We have our targets. We know what we want. We're not going to do them now. But the manager's very happy with the squad going into the first couple of weeks of the season. I think the last 2 weeks of August will be, you know, busy for everybody. And doing the right deals here and there and getting, you know, knowing by then, okay, we're missing this, we're missing that, we might need to tweak this, and then you react, you know, and whatever. And we're taking a very calculated view on everything, you know. And again, I'd said long before the troubles were going on that we were bloated. You know, we had a Championship kind of wage bill and very bloated. And you know, a lot of that was older players that, you know, we've managed to clear the decks nicely, do a bit of good business, bring some players in, reduce the age. We're very comfortable where we are. That's something we wanted to do. But I'm still as ambitious as ever that, you know, to do a couple of more parts before the end of the window.
Well, just finishing on us, we got Crawley away, first game of the season. And Crawley is the one in League
Good
Two.
Manager.
There's a lot of goings on there still, a lot of players that are being sold out there. So we'll see. It's always a tough place for us to go.
Yeah, really good manager. You know, we don't know what everything going on at Crawley off the field with the thing last year. That'll be interesting. But, you know, again, it's first game of the season. You know, who knows? Who knows? Like us going to Reading. You don't know what you're going to get. And you know, it'll be the same for Reading fans. They're not going to know what they're going to get. Peterborough fans, you know, again. And it's like, it's the first game is what it is.
And last question on the Championship. Where do you rate Leeds' chances this year?
Have to do a lot of business. A lot of big hitters are gone. A lot of people on loan. People are moaning. Obviously, the 100 plus million worth of players gone out on loan. I understand why that's happened. I get that. But they have to do business. And they have to do business quickly. You know, I'm a secret Leeds fan. You know, the club, the size of it. You know, they have to do business quickly. You know, I would say their fans would tell you that. I haven't seen anything about them pre-season. I know they've got a manager who knows how to win that Championship and get promoted. But they have to give him some of the bits and parts he needs. And I think they're four or five players short of what they need.
Now, in the Premier League, is it worth anyone showing up this year?
Arsenal will have a chance. Man City have lost a few key pieces, but I know Pep Guardiola and them, they will sign more. I think it's between Arsenal and them. I think Liverpool will be top four. I'm really re-energized by what they're doing in midfield. I'm excited by it. We're getting younger. I think we will challenge the following year for the title, do what we did 5 or 6 years ago against Man City. Next year, it'll be top four. Probably with a trophy for us. But really, you know, title-wise, it'll be City and Arsenal. If Arsenal could solve the goal-scoring problem and actually have a prolific goal scorer, Arsenal could win the league. But I think it'll be Man City again.
I saw more Mbappe to Liverpool on loan rumours over the internet this morning.
I wouldn't want him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want him. I don't want the circus. I don't want the shit show. Don't want him.
What do you think is going to play out with him?
I don't know. It's all a game. I think at the last week of the window, Madrid will offer him 40 or 50 million quid. And I think he'll end up at Madrid potentially. But I don't want him in Liverpool.
create as much problems as possible, so they're happy just to get anything.
He wants to go to Real Madrid next summer, so he's going to sit there. Madrid will come in with a real derisory offer, and PSG are going to have to lose their ego and move on the shit show on the circus. That's my opinion. Move on, move past it, learn from it. No player is bigger than the club, and no player should be getting paid 150 million a year to play football. But it is what it is.
And then that's a nice segue into Saudi Arabia then.
You've heard me on TalkSport all week. You know how I feel about it. You take the money, I take the money.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to criticize anybody for it. I know what the Saudis are trying to do. You know, very clever of them. I said it on TalkSport that somebody in England eventually will buy the rights, because that will become a top 5-6 league in the next 3 years. They're signing the older players first. They've signed a few younger players, some players in the peaks of their career, the boy from Newcastle, the boy from Wolves. You know, Mane has now gone out there. He's 31. You know, I said if Saudi are clever, they start robbing the champ in League One of talents as well, young talents, because it's going to get eyes on it. And, you know, it's fascinating, really. I'm out to Dubai for a few days on business, and it'll be interesting, you know, what the mindset and thought is about the whole Saudi thing. But if they want something, they're going to get something. And we can go on about all the atrocities and the stuff that goes on off the pitch and what we agree with, don't agree with. But if you're a player in a short career and it's legacy changing numbers to change your life, you're going to take it for 2 or 3 years, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't blame. I mean, I understand players who would say no, like Messi allegedly did. But I also, you can't blame anybody for saying yes to that life changing amount of money.
Can't do it. Who am I to judge? Who are you to judge? You know, at the end of the day, I always said this: money talks and bullshit walks. That's just the real world. And I'm not going to get into the whole debate and argument about journalists in Qatar and whatever, because I'll probably have 5 new articles written about it next week.
And, you know, I think Jordan Henderson's been the highest profile the last few days. And yeah. Again, I, he's been such a wonderful servant of Liverpool that you feel brilliant. Like, why should he turn down the opportunity of...
Brilliant. He's been brilliant for Liverpool, brilliant during COVID, brilliant for the NHS, brilliant for Pride, brilliant for the LGBTQ community. Everything he's done, I get it. I get all their arguments. He's been brilliant for them. You know, at the end of the day, you know, focus on what he did at the time. Focus why he's always been there. And don't look at him now as a major villain. And also give him time, because he still has to respond in all of that. And he might shock you. So, you know, absolutely. And I love Jordan. And he's an absolute legend for the club and the Premier League. And good luck to him.
What do you make of Messi then coming over to MLS?
Brilliant from Apple. Very clever. They're already, the subscriptions are like over $1.5 million per month now watching the MLS. That's getting them their $250 a year back that they paid, the $3 billion MLS deal. They've made that happen as well. They've given him bits of the subs. I think his family didn't want to live in Saudi. I think he's so wealthy already. He's already a billionaire, I think, with all the deals and the sponsorships and everything else. So what was another $1 billion for him in Saudi? And I think he could make, I think he's been offered his own franchise in the future.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a no-brainer.
It will make up for what he would lose in Saudi. Yeah.
Like they did with Beckham, basically.
Still a semi-decent level. And I think he's been a revelation already. And I think it's great for us, great for the industry. You know, we live there. And the World Cup's coming up. I think it just suits him and his family down to the ground. And Miami's a beautiful place to live. So, you know, it was win-win. It was just win-win. There was no point in going back to Barcelona. You know, it's obviously time for him and his family. And I think, I dare say, they're closer to Argentina.
Right.
Being in Miami.
Yeah. Do you think it was going to be transformative to MLS, or it's going to be just a good player playing for a couple of years? That
I think it will transform into Miami, who are shit.
Yeah.
You know, they've been shit as a franchise. I'm sure you'd agree, since they've been in there. I think they'd never won a game more than 3-0, you know, until he came in and did that.
They
first won game.
Something like 12 in a row, had they, until...
I think they're trying to sign their own Galacticos with who they signed player-wise. I think it will put a lot more eyes on the league. I think a lot more people will watch. That will bring better players. I think the real difference we will see in the standard, the level, will be by 2026 when the World Cup comes to town. And hopefully after that, then they'll come to their senses and put a pyramid in place. Then it will become probably the second most watched league in the world.
As we always say, without a pyramid.
It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. That could be, in 20 years' time, rivaling the Premier League if they cut their finger out of their arse and thought about it. So watch out, football world. That's where it's going.
It was really interesting to see about... you know, before he was even announced, what it did to ticket prices and how everybody sold out, ticket prices went through the roof. It does make you wonder about sporting integrity and if everyone's going to be protecting him so much because he has to play every game because there's so much commercially rising on it.
Yeah, but that's good for business. It's good for the MLS. Look, you're going to do those things. You're going to look after a Messi. You're going to you know, he's the brand now. It's just like in Saudi, I'm sure Ronaldo's not going to get kicked as much. You know, the powers to be are like, he's the brand.
Red card every time you kick Ronaldo.
Yeah, correct. But you know what? You know, you laugh about things like that. But in some way, it's like, it makes sense as well. You have to protect the brand where you build the brand. You know, the quarterbacks in the NFL are protected more than anyone else. Why is that? Who's the most valuable product of the NFL? So that's just sports. That's the way it is. So I'm excited to see what happens. I'm not quite there yet about watching the MLS. I will be probably in 2 years, you know, after the next World Cup. So a lot of good things happen in football, Wes.
Yeah, and the last thing I just want to touch on today is timekeeping. So the EFL announcing
all
their new rules about making sure we have more in-play time, if you will, during the game. And, you know, we're going to start seeing 10 minutes of added time on the end of each half.
Let's see how it works. Maybe it'll lead to more goals. So let's see how it works. I'm not against it. You know, everyone knows there's a lot of time wasting going on. So I'm all for it. You know, and you know, it's an interesting thing. They did it at the World Cup. I found it quite fun. They had an extra 10 minutes of the game going on. So let's see how it pans out. I dare say it'll die down. It'll start really hot and heavy, 8, 9, 10, 11 minutes. By the time we get to January, it'll be back to 4 to 6.
Or maybe it will increase the demand on physios and fitness coaches.
Not more staff. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that. We need more staff. Need more help. Never. Move on. So that's that. You know, what else? What else we got?
I think that's about it. We had the question about goalkeepers from Gordon earlier, but we touched on that. I think you've touched on a question from John, but I'll ask it anyway. Will any of the transfer list of players, if they're still at the club when the window closes, be offered new contracts? I'm assuming they've all been offered new contracts anyway, with only one to go.
And the answer to that question would be yes. So there will be new contract offers to players who settled down, who are still here past the window and affecting the first team. Yes, absolutely. If it's right for us and right for them, that will be done. Next question.
And the last question is around women's football. Marcus says, I have supported the posh men for over 15 years and the posh women for 2. Talked about attending both, but it comes across quite a bit of resistance about seeing the women's game as inferior. From his point of view, you know, that if you want high quality football, basically watch the Premiership. You know, you're always going to have differences in quality as you go down the leagues. It's just really making a case for the women's game just being enjoyable and looking for, you know, continued support, I think, from the club for the women's
game. And his question was, could you plug them more on the podcast? He's absolutely right. So look, I'm not a massive fan of women's football. I don't watch it. So I would not lie about that like lots of people do. You know, I know, you know, the World Cup's going on at the moment, but a lot of people don't watch it. I'm really proud of the posh women. I'm really proud of the manager. I'm proud of Bobby, everyone involved who run it. I even gave them a little bit more money this year to give them a chance of promotion. I'm so proud. It was my idea to move them away from our training ground in 4G to play at a stadium last season because I felt they would help build their own independence. They ended up getting 500 plus people to a game. It was my idea to let them have a game at our stadium. And I said, as long as we don't lose money, we will do that more. Here's where I stand. If our ladies, if our female team brought in more money than our men's team, they'd be playing at the stadium instead of our men's team. That's the reality. And I always say this, people talk about equality and everything else. If the women's game brings in the same or more money, they should earn the same or more than men. That's just the reality. It's eyes on. So I'll do everything to help our female, our ladies' teams. And I am doing. And to be fair to Jason, he was a big proponent of it because his daughters played football and whatever else. So you're not going to have any roadblocks from me at Peterborough about the women's thing. I want them to be successful. I want it to be another little chapter in what we do and grow. Our awards do last season, you know, it was 50-50, the awards with the women and the men. So all those things are happening. And he's right. We'll try and talk about it more on the podcast because, you know, I just speak about the men's team. So, and also with Posh Plus, we're putting a lot of stuff with the women's team on there as well. So really excited for them and want to wish them all the best this season.
I am going to follow up on one thing because we didn't talk about it earlier, but it created a bit of a debacle, I think, over the last week or so, and moving away commentaries from the BBC.
Let me summarize it quickly because obviously we're on a tight time limit and people don't listen to 2-hour podcasts. So, you know, Posh Plus is the future. We feel a fully subscribed service is going to be the way it goes in 2-3 years' time on everything you do. Instead of having to pay a fortune in March, April for season tickets and whatever, you pay monthly and have everything under one cap, pay monthly. And I think that's the best way for people from a cash flow perspective, people who struggle to pay big lumps of money out to football clubs. And we made a concerted effort to put a lot of product on Posh Plus this summer. behind the scenes stuff with the manager in the dressing room. We're going to do that during the season. We're doing podcasts. We're going to do potentially a documentary. There's a lot of stuff we're working on. The BBC thing always makes me nervous where it's a year at a time and there's always a clause to end it at the end. And it dawned on me one day, if they came to us and said, hey, we're moving on and we don't have the budget and we're not going to do it, who would cover the Peterborough thing? So I thought, forget BBC for a moment. Let's just do our own commentary. Let's get in guys who are good at doing it, invite guests, invite ex-players, and they've been told, carte blanche, they can call me a cunt if they want to. Doesn't matter. I don't care. All right, there's no censorship. I want it to be a fun service. I want to have like a match day, whole show for people who can't watch the games live. We'll be able to listen before the game, after the game, during the game. It's going to be brilliant. So we made the decision to move away from BBC. It wasn't a financial decision because it would probably take a couple of years to make that money back. It was basically encouraging people to take up our Posh Plus service. Everyone went mad at it and said £5 a game to listen to. It's not. If you sign up to Posh Plus today, it's 88p a week. And for that, you get home and away commentary. You get all the other stuff in Posh Plus and there's shit loads more to come. It's value for money. If you just want to sign on and listen to one game, yes, you pay £5 to listen to the game. Yeah. But if you were clever, you'd pay £45 in advance instead of 65. Pay up front, get it done for you if you can afford to. Yes, I left out the older fans. Yes, I realize that. The ones who can't listen, the ones who are further afield, who can't use the text. And we come up with a solution. One, we did a deal with a local radio station. We'll deliver the Posh Plus commentary on match days. They're going to pad that out technology-wise so we can go further and further out to people who still can't listen. I then came up with the idea, well, I didn't realize there was so many older people living on their own. So I came up with, let's solve that kind of match day loneliness for away games. Come down to the club and we have the venue bar and everyone can sit together and we'll put the sound on and they can have a drink together and make some new friends. And I also came up with the idea that we could do an appointment for people who are a little bit not tech savvy, like my dad, to come in with all their tech stuff. Bring your iPad, bring your laptop, bring your phone, and our guys by appointment will set you up. So that come match days, whether you're watching the game, if you're allowed to, or listening to the commentary, you press this button. So, you know, again, we dived into action. We took a bit of flack. Some of it deserved, some of it not so deserved with the usual hysteria. And Phil's been absolutely brilliant in the team, and he's taken a lot of the flack, God bless him. And I've been obviously a lot going on the last 7, 8, 9 days. And it wasn't meant, you know, as a fallout with BBC. And what people didn't report about, including the BBC themselves, is BBC is still get pre-match. They still interview the manager before the game, players, after the game. And they get 3 times in each half to come in and report on the game where their guys will be at the game commentating and doing those reports. So they still have all that access. That's it.
It was a lot of noise before. There's new things to have noise around last week. So
look, there's always going to be a lot of noise. It seems to be amplified a lot of it by social media. I did speak to all the supporters groups towards the end of the week. We went through it. There's a lot going on at the club. Got to do better. We'll do better. You know, I think the new deal with the new radio station is a good compromise. And I think the service is a great service. And you're going to see, you want to still listen here or there, whatever, do what you want. But if you want to try something entertaining, Posh Plus is going to be great fun this season. So sign up for it. I think it's going to be really good. And the guys behind the scenes are doing a great job. Moving on to my final words is to wish everybody listening and all their clubs and all their staff and all their players the best for the season upcoming. You know, I hope you all get what you achieve and deserve out of it this season. And God bless to you all and enjoy your season. And to the listeners, thank you for still tuning in, staying with us. Tell all your friends and family, let's get more viewers and let's smash it this year.
Yeah, we'll be back, all being well, next week. We're just working around travel schedules at the moment, but the goal is to get something recorded for next week as well and as many weeks as we possibly can throughout the season. So
all good.
Until next time, thanks for your time. And we'll see you all again next week.
Take care, guys.